numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio. Oh, I did the old one. That's not right. Just came out of my brain. Some of those weren't true. I was just faking people out, see if they're paying attention. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, YouTube TV as well. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come this hour. We will talk to Mark Borchardt, who's standing by, talk baseball with us. Also, JVT on the NBA. Pete Futek on college football. Also going to do some NFL awards, a sort of a heat check on NFL MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Comeback is always a great discussion.
Yeah.
Because what the heck are they voting on? Like, everybody has a different definition of that. So we'll get into that.
It's bizarre, and it's one of those, they should maybe consider changing it to, like, the NBA Most Improved Player.
Right, because some of those people, like Geno Smith is in there.
Right.
He's Most Improved. But what's he coming back from? Sucking?
Yes. I mean, that's a joke we always used to make on Primetime Action, right? Like, he's coming back from sucking.
They give him the award. They're like, Gino, you have sucked for so long. Just want to thank you for being good now. And how he would take that information. We get tweets at Meeting the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from Betting Man Todd. Any interest in either of the WTA Finals matches today? I'm going out there to watch the one and only IGA. Good for you, man. Congratulations down in Fort Worth, Texas. The WTA Finals, the 8 top point getters of the WTA Tour all year. No play, to answer your question, no play on either of the women's tennis matches today. IGA's appropriately priced. The other one is as well between Coco and Caroline Garcia. I do have futures on IGA to win this, though. Anywhere between plus 100 and plus 140. They're still probably available in plus prizes for Iga, so I am on that. But nothing on the matches. Again, Richard Gasquet, the only tennis match betting here moving forward today. Michael Lafon, the Bengals' success depends on Burrow getting time to pass. Cincinnati was unstoppable last week because Atlanta has no pass rush. Fade Atlanta against good quarterbacks. They can beat the running quarterbacks. There's a tip from Michael Lafon, by the way, on that. Let's see. Glenn Glozenski likes your basketball pick. He says, very good pick, Kelly. How about that?
Thanks, Glenn.
To answer your question, this is from Shane Finnegan 12, who has found it at Caesars, and from Bob from Philly, who has found it at FanDuel. Your question about those three teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Philadelphia versus the field. And the screenshot that Shane Finnegan 12 is showing us is from Caesars. The Eagles, Chiefs, and Bills are minus 140. The field is plus 120 coming back. And then at FanDuel, it is even shorter than that. At FanDuel, it is, let me just make sure, minus 126 on the Bills, Eagles, and Chiefs.
I think I would bet that.
Minus 102 on the field coming back. I think I would, too.
I think that also means it's probably up at Boyd here in town, where it might be.
Well,
that's what I'm going to have to check on later. I might bet that. I think that pricing is right. I mean, it's.
I dig it. Good for those places to put them up.
Yeah, I figured someone probably had it up. Thanks for the tweets, guys.
Thanks, appreciate it. This is from Easy Pickens 2. NFL defenses are catching up with offenses after all the scoring rule changes. Anticipate next rule change to tie all defensive backs' hands behind their backs. Ryan Hyatt, sharps, no, make no move on college football until you hear Kelly Bidlin guessing lines. Absolutely, we appreciate that. Okay. Oh, and Alan Mitchell says, I didn't catch the USTA, he means the UTSA rotation number. Did Kelly give it a go or a pass? With the old right angle sports. Go, 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 or pass?
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, basewinner.com, at basewinner. It's Mark Borchardt, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I mean, I enjoyed the game one of the World Series. I thought that was a really good game. One of the better games I've seen in my lifetime.
5-0 deficit for the Phillies. They come all the way back, as the Phillies do these days. But that one against Verlander. Verlander with a horrible World Series record lifetime, and the Phillies get it done. They steal one of the two from the Astros in Houston. We go back to Philly tonight for game three. And with the postponement, we were talking to Paul Sporer earlier, Mark. He seemed to think that this favors the Phillies. I would imagine that postponement does sort of favor them a bit, in your opinion, as well?
Yeah, absolutely, because you can get Nola, who I have the best pitcher in the series. He didn't look like it the other night, but, you know, from a long-term sample size, I think there's a lot of numbers that are compelling that he is the best pitcher in the World Series. And so you get him early in game four and possibly on a short rest in game seven. So, yeah, I definitely think that it does favor the Phillies. I don't necessarily agree with going left-handed pitching tonight as a starter, but, I mean, look, this analytics department at Philly is deep and they're good, and so maybe they know things that I don't.
McCullers and Suarez is what you're referring to tonight with the Astros minus 118 favorites. Consensus, shop around. You might find it a couple pennies more or less. Any thoughts on game three here tonight? Any thoughts on the adjusted series price, which we were pointing out earlier, ain't really that adjusted. It's about minus 170, not that adjusted from 0-0 now at 1-1.
It's funny, Gil, the adjusted series price is exactly what I have priced out at minus 170 for Houston. So obviously there would be no value there by my numbers. But, you know, tonight, and I'm kind of high on this Phillies team, and I don't know. I mean, I think that you, even if you're an analytical guy and you do a lot of number handicapping, you still have human emotion. And my numbers would indicate that there's value tonight on Houston. So I have it priced at minus 135, and the market is at minus 115. Personally, going to keep the powder dry, as they say, Gil, because I just don't want to go against the Phillies. I mean, I'm going to tell it like it is. My father-in-law is a huge Philly fan. He just came into town a week ago. We're rooting for the Phillies. My wife is actually letting me watch baseball in the master bedroom, and she's a Phillies fan. So if I'm going to bet Houston tonight, then I think I'd be kicked out maybe of the master bedroom for a week, and I don't want to have that happen. But my numbers would indicate that there's value on Houston for those of you who listen to my numbers.
Kelly, mark that down. Normally, Mark Borchardt does not get to watch baseball in the master bedroom.
Got it.
Okay. That'll be in the newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. All right. Let me go to, by the way, one more question about this, and I don't know that your numbers – ever capture this. I don't know that you ever intend them to, nor might you care. But when you see managers, Dusty Baker and Rob Thompson, do you say to yourself there's an advantage either way there? Do you dislike or like one more than the other?
I kind of side with, if you're asking me which one I would
trust?
Side with.
Who do you trust more?
I would trust the Thompson more. I think that he tends to listen to his analytics department, and they're built well. I mean, the guy, his name's Chris Fonsberg, I think is his name. He's a principal data scientist over there, and the guy's like really renowned. And so I think that he's listening to the analytics department a little bit more. Nothing against Dusty. I mean, he's a longtime baseball guy. And a good guy. The host of the BetUS MLB show is really good friends with Dusty, TC Martin. And I personally like him, but I don't think that he is inclined to listen to his analytics department as much as Thompson would.
Let me go to the MVP, because obviously Kyle Tucker hit two home runs real quick in game one. And you're like, well, he's the leader in the clubhouse. Okay, he is. He's the short shot, but not by much, right? Plus 650 in the MVP market, which really at 1-1 in the series is kind of wide open still, wouldn't you say? Is there a player here you would take a shot at?
You know, I kind of like Real Muto, and I'm going to play him to get a hit today. And you got to lay a little bit of price on that. It's minus 220. But at home, he has, since September 1st, he's gotten a hit in 24 of 31 games. And that's 77%, so that's minus 330. So I think there's value there. You know, one thing about Real Muto that's pretty interesting is he's got the best batting average versus right-handed pitching since the trade deadline at 414. And he's going to face a steady diet of right-handed pitching at home. So that's kind of the one. Then, and he's also accumulated some stats in the series as well. So for those reasons, I would take a look at Real Muto for the MVP.
All right, I think our buddy Felica took a flyer on Altuve at 10-1. Because again, it's right. It's like some people have banked some stats and you haven't really noticed yet. So this could be this is a pretty live market still at this point. Could go any which way. But Real Muto, who hit the game-winning shot for the Phillies in game number one to put them up 6-5, a lead that held. Okay, so one question here on the way out, 90 seconds. The team or teams without numbers to show us in betting markets, just the World Series futures odds is all we have anywhere. We don't have season wins or anything like that. What's the club that you think is going to be chronically undervalued across the board or chronically overvalued heading in next year that markets, that betting markets won't necessarily capture?
I think the Giants are worth a look, Gil. I think that they have, you know, depending on the contract situations, if they keep their pitchers. But from a pitching standpoint, you know, I like them all year. I think they kind of underperformed. I think that they've made public comments that they're going to go after certain players, i.e. Aaron Judge. Be interesting to see how he hits in San Francisco, given that we have the Barry Bonds, Aaron Judge argument. But I think that that's a team that's going to be aggressive. Obviously, their analytics department for me is probably top five in baseball. So that's one that I would look at, Gil.
All right. How many times have I uttered under my breath this year, boy, is he going to look good in a Giants uniform next year? And sure enough, the Giants said they will not be outbid for Aaron Judge. So if Aaron Judge, if going back to his hometown or the team that he grew up rooting for means anything to him, the Giants are going to make it worth his while. We shall see if he ends up in, boy, that would be a nice place for a right-handed hitter to hit, that's for sure. Mark, thank you for another great year. Love you for coming on every week, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, man. It's been fun. This is going to get World Series. I think it's going to go the distance.
The distance, which would be Sunday, if it does, barring any weather intervening. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. Always analytically sound. We appreciate it, as always. Coming back to the NFL, MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Heat Check on All. Where are the bets? Where are the good ones? Where's the value? That's on the other side on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Get everything Visa has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Sign up now and get Visa Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, including our Pro Picks daily recap of the top plays made by Visa show hosts and guests, Pro Tools like our exclusive betting splits, Pro Tips with actionable insights to up your betting game, deep dive daily betting reports on the NBA, NHL, and MLB playoffs, plus our upcoming college basketball, College Bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Visit Visa.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. NFL awards heat check. Kelly, ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I don't know each one of these.
I don't know how much of a heat check there is on NFL MVP, quite frankly, but for thoroughness' sake, let's throw this in. No surprise here. Josh Allen is the short shot at +110. Jalen Hurts of the Eagles +350. Patrick Mahomes +450. Everybody else is double digits, and quite frankly, the only one who's shorter than 25-1 at BetMGM is Lamar Jackson at 11-1. But honestly, as I look up and down this, by the way, Geno Smith 40-1. I only bring that up because Jason Weingarten has him at 750-1.
Man.
From before the season or after week one or something like that.
Weingarten. That is what an unbelievable bet. Why would you even ever bet it? And then it's actually in a spot where it's live. It's live 8 weeks in.
But Caffrey 66-1. Anyway, we could belabor this one, but I mean it's Allen, Hurts, and Mahomes, right? That's appropriate.
Yeah, it's Allen Hurts from Mahomes, and it's with the NFL, it probably comes down to who stays healthiest
who
doesn't miss
three.
Any games.
Yep.
But they've already racked up the stats where it's just Mahomes 20 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, Josh Allen 19-6. With everything he does on the ground too, it's just you're not getting a ton of passing touchdowns right now from Jalen Hurts, but that offense is cruising. It's cruising.
It's hard to imagine anybody else on that list cracking through unless the Seahawks just never lost again.
Right. And you bring him up. I think that he's – I don't think he's out of it. I think you have to put him on the right outside of those three because you can at least draw a line.
There's
to
a
him.
Path.
Yeah, there's a path.
We might not find that path, but there's a path. I'm not sure there is one for some of the others on there. Let's go to – I'm sorry, some of these aren't going to be as good as the others, but Offensive Rookie of the Year. Let's go here. So Kenneth Walker is now your short shot. This is really a three-headed race as well between Kenneth Walker, Damian Pierce of the Texans, and then Chris Olave of the Saints has found his way into single digits. let's just compare Walker and Pierce in terms of their numbers.
Well, I think the one, you know, while you're pulling some of those up, Gil, I really wanted to talk more about this one because it's, I think in the past couple weeks, you've seen, as Kenneth Walker and Dameon Pierce have really kind of established their roles as those lead backs and, I mean, workhorse backs in the two backfields for Houston and Seattle. And to me, this is really more of a two-horse race right now. Olave is up there, so. And he's been great. But as soon, you know, if they get some of these other wide receivers back, do his numbers start to drop off a little bit? I think Drake London's awesome too, but is there really going to be that much of a passing offense going forward with the Falcons? I don't really know. And it's just,
I just think those wide receivers are musical chairs, week to week.
Right. So I think if you have conviction on one of these guys at the top, one of these two guys at the top between the two of them, and I would probably go to, you know, Kenneth Walker. I don't really have a problem with anybody making a bet at that number right now.
Walker has 85 carries this year for 461 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns, 9 catches for 28 yards. But comparing the rushing numbers, 85 for 461, that's a 5.4 yards per carry average. Pierce, 121 carries for 539 yards and 3 touchdowns, and a 4.5 yards per attempt. He's a little more effective in the passing game, but not so much that it's really meaningful. So, I mean, the stats really do favor Kenneth Walker. It is what the pricing is, what it should be right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you just look at his past three games and say, you know, 18 carries for 51 yards and a touch against the Giants at the Chargers, 23 carries, 167 yards, 2 touchdowns. Home against the Cardinals, 21 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. It's just, if he keeps getting this kind of workload, which there's no reason to think he wouldn't.
Well, the other point about this is that that Pete Carroll is all about the running game. He is never going to go away from it. He loves Kenneth Walker. He's going to keep pounding Kenneth Walker no matter what. And Seattle will lead in some games. Houston will probably be trailing in most, if not all.
Yep.
Most for sure. And it's going to take Dameon Pierce out of a rushing situation.
Plus, just the fact that it's a worse team, right? Yeah. You're just a worse team.
Yeah.
And people are going to factor that in. If you find plus 150, if you found something close to 2-1 on Kenneth Walker, I don't have a problem with that bet at all. To me, he's clearly out in
front.
You're
kind of rooting against injury, and you're rooting against the guy like, you know, Bailey Zappi getting back to the starting role. Bailey Zappi has fallen all the way back to 60-1. Should be pointed out.
What did he get as short as?
5-1 where everybody was betting him.
God, I saw 14. I didn't know he got as short. He got all the way down to 5.
Oh yeah, he's got all the way down to 5-1 at William Hill here in the Bears game. It's ridiculous.
Yikes.
All right, now here's what gets interesting. Comeback player of the year. Because again, what are we coming back from? And every voter is going to have a different definition of this. Saquon Barkley's the favorite right now, minus 155. But I consider that shaky. Because Geno's plus 225, and again, yes, what is he coming back from? Sucking, generally speaking. So most improved player would probably be the correct title for him, but no such award exists. So some of these voters, instead of giving Geno an MVP, because that's going to go to Allen or Mahomes or Hurts, they might say to themselves, he's definitely the comeback player of the year at plus 225. Again, your definition is going to differ from some of these voters. I'm not arguing with you about your definition. I'm just saying everybody's going to have a different one. McCaffrey now with the Niners coming back from injury is plus 750. Derrick Henry coming back from injury, 12-1. And then you sort of have a mishmash after that. Someone just tweeted, I want to give credit to who just tweeted this. Someone just tweeted, what about Marcus Mariota? Dom Perignon just said, he tweeted, am I crazy, but Marcus Mariota at 75-1. Oh, he's talking about offensive player of the year for Mariota. We'll get to that in a minute. Mariota's 66-1.
I was going to say, again, I like just it better being, in this market.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is just from being benched, really, all these years.
Because if you're going to make the same case, you're making the same case for Geno Smith as you are for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Right, so there really shouldn't be that big of a difference between the two.
Oh, I think Geno's performance is vastly greater, though.
Sure. But from, what is it, plus 225
correct.
To 66-1?
What's a bet is a different story.
I mean, for the people out there that do get angry about the, well, what are you coming back from, right? It's the Ryan Tannehill 2019 year, right? I think that sets the precedent for this. I don't believe he was coming off injury. You do, if you do go look at who won this award in years past, Joe Burrow last year, Alex Smith the year before, you always bring up the ultimate, I mean, the ultimate example of who should win.
Should be named after
this award. Right, who should win this type of award. Tannehill 2019, Andrew Luck 2018, Keenan Allen 2017. All these guys, for the most part, coming off Jordy Nelson 2016, Eric Berry 2015. Remember him being really sick.
Garrison Hurst is the last running back to win this in 2001. That's how far back you got to go to get a running back winning a comeback player. I don't know if that's significant or not, but just letting you know.
Well, I mean, I think with like so many of these player awards, right, the quarterbacks are usually always going to have an edge.
Yep. I mean, what's that? That's four out of the last, let me see. So four out of the last, four, eight, seven, ten out of the last 14 have been quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's where you're usually always going to have the edge. It's just, it's... I just think you got to keep in mind what this award is, and it really does. It's two different paths,
the
right?
Most,
you're coming off injury, or you're coming off sucking. And I know people are going to get upset about that, but yes. it's a reality. It's a part of this award.
The most subjective of all of these.
Yes,
it's the most subjective of all of these. But I, you know, if you're saying to me, what bet do you make now? I think Geno's the bet, quite frankly, at +225. Let's go to Offensive Player of the Year. Because this is going to maybe sort of color what you're thinking about for Comeback Player of the Year. For Offensive Player of the Year, now this is usually a catch-all for those who don't win the MVP. Oh, we'll go to Coach of the Year?
Coach of the Year. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Coach of the Year. What did I say? Offensive Player of the Year? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, pardon me. We'll go to Coach of the Year. Yeah, let's get
which
that.
Which is probably the most fascinating.
Yeah, because Offensive Player of the Year is its own little category. Coach of the Year, I've said for weeks now that the best bet on the board is Pete Carroll. And I am not changing that. Pete Carroll is still in double digits, available pretty much everywhere in double digits. He was 20-1 last week. We're showing him here at 12-1 now at BetMGM. Shop around. But if the Seahawks continue to win, right now they're atop the NFC West. And yes, the Niners have a pretty easy schedule moving forward. But Pete Carroll at 12-1 because the expectations of the Seahawks were so low. Now, if Nick Sirianni and the Eagles just continue to win, this is all moot. Nick Sirianni's going to win it. Let's just start there. But actually, the best bet to me is still Pete Carroll based on the number.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, look, Sirianni's odds are I think that's priced correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there should not be that big of a difference between Daboll and Carroll. And I don't think that O'Connell or Saleh should be ahead of Pete Carroll right now. I think he should be shorter than both of them. I'm with you. There's one bet on that board to make, it's Pete Carroll.
Without question. And it's been that way for weeks now.
It has been.
And we've talked about this on the show. And I don't think there's anybody else really on there that leaps off the page. You know, Sean McDermott, they refused to give this award to, apparently, at 18-1.
I mean, I have an O'Connell ticket, so go Vikings. Let's keep it up. But, if you're sitting here today, Pete Carroll's the bet.
Because based on expectations, people thought the Vikings would be good. People thought the Eagles would be good. Seattle and Pete Carroll, I think the best bet on that board. We'll come back. College football with Pete Futak. What do you think about the first rankings tonight? Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I do think, before we get to Pete Futak here on college football, I do think we should say it one more time, how difficult Comeback Player of the Year award is. And then the one we didn't go over, which is Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah,
how difficult those are to bet on because of the subjectivity involved. Offensive Player of the Year might even be even more difficult because it's like, what is this exactly? It's not the guy who wins MVP, and then you're just giving him a consolation. Like, what is that?
And we went over that. What was it, last week?
Yeah.
Where it was like, there has been instances where guys have won both, too.
Correct.
So
which makes it even more crazy.
I mean, Gil, it is one of the awards in sports. That one, Offensive Player of the Year, I don't think you'll ever find me having a bet on.
I would agree with that. Comeback Player of the Year is a little more fun, but I would even say this about Joe Burrow last year. Like, on Primetime Action.
Yeah, we were always talking about this.
I used to say, what's he coming back from? He played 10 games in this league and they got hurt.
Like that, and that's a pretty normal season for most quarterbacks. Like, yeah, you missed a couple games because of injuries.
You get a comeback play, like Alex Smith, and then that, like, kind of. Anyway, just keep that in mind. These are sort of vague with some of these. Let's talk some college football, ladies and gentlemen, from collegefootballnews.com. On the cusp of the first of six FBS rankings tonight. Only the sixth one matters on December 4th, but we got one tonight. It's Pete Futak. How you doing, Peter?
Yeah, to your point, that kind of like in the college football version, what you're talking about is like a Bryce Young might win the Heisman, but some random senior quarterback will win like the, you know, the Davey O'Brien or right. the Johnny Unitas Award. And so it's like, well, if you're the best player, aren't you the best quarterback and all that sort of stuff? Yes, it is college football playoff rankings night. It's the fun time of year because this is when in a few weeks we get to use the word pentultimate. When, you know, the second to last one, which nobody ever uses that word ever. No one ever uses the word stave off, like unless it's like trying to stave off elimination. Well, we get to use pentultimate in a couple weeks. So this is that time of year for all this kind of fun stuff.
Let me just ask you about that first then. What do you anticipate the order being tonight? Specifically, where does TCU land?
Yeah, I would think the TCU, I mean, they've got to be about 5 or 6. I mean, everyone gets into a twist over this. And like you said, I mean, this is an exercise, but it's not really even an exercise. I kind of compare it to as someone like a golfer practicing for a specific tournament and a specific hole, but not knowing the distance or any of the configurations, because like the committee just goes by whoever wins their conference championships first. So if you don't, in the absence of that, we're just doing this just for fun and you know, giggles and discussion and stuff. But to your point, I'm going to guess Tennessee's first just because they're going to like their big wins and how splashy they've been. They've been a little bit sharper and have that one big win over Bama. And as we know, the college football playoff committee loves everything Bama, and Tennessee beat their guys. So I'm going to guess Tennessee's 1, Georgia's 2. And I'm going to say that TCU's probably ducking right in at 5. Right behind Michigan. But we've said before, though, Clemson, you know, for all the shakiness, they've got wins. Beating Wake Forest is a ranked win. Beating Syracuse is a big win. NC State, at least ranked. So they've got some nice wins on there, but I'm going to say TCU is 5th in this.
Okay. Speaking of that, before we get to this week, because there's a bunch to talk about, including Maction tonight and tomorrow night, TCU, did you see how that game ended? I had an in-game on TCU at -6.5, which I got right after TCU muffed a punt. And so it was sort of this bet where you're like, wow, I taken TCU -6.5. Yes, because I liked that it was a hook below. And so so they worked out because they stopped on that drive. But anyway, it was a clear loser, right? And then at the very end, and I want to get the exact down and distance correct, because we're just you're drawing dead at this point. It's 4th and 1 on the West Virginia 29 with 26 seconds left. TCU is up 2 points.
Why?
So it's do you kick a field goal here to go up, or do you just try to get the yard? Right, those are the two options. And instead,
and
we didn't know there
do?
Was a third option. Max Duggan goes back to pass. He just heaves it deep, and Savion Williams in a single coverage grabs it, and I'm going ballistic. So lucky.
At the BetQL show studios, like we have TVs here, and this one was up on what we call kind of the crazy TV, where that's where Appalachian State and North Carolina are still scoring, and Houston came back. So up in the corner here. So the corner, okay, I got this one right. Woo, I got this bet right. I got this, you know, call right. Excellent. And then all of a sudden, I kind of hit refresh on something. Wait a minute, how the hell did that happen? And like, oh.
That's amazing.
Between that and the Louisville Wake Forest turnover fest. Which coming through late, that was there's a couple of crazy things, and of course it didn't really matter for betting, but San Diego State Fresno State was an all-timer of a finish if you had anything on that.
Well, the only thing else I wanted to ask you about was Oklahoma State. What was that? Like, could you? I mean, we knew their defense stunk.
I thought they'd win. I thought they'd win that. It just sometimes you just don't have, but like, and that was the crazy part. And I'll get into this in a second. What's hitting more consistently than anything else right now is outside of anything related to Iowa State, they have one of the nation's best defense. Big 12 overs are all, even this week, you have a couple of games that are still sort of hanging around in the high 50s, which are probably going to be like every game is like 38, 34. Look, Kansas State did its part. It did its heavy lifting. All we needed out of Oklahoma State was just score something.
48 to nothing is what we're referring to.
That was an easy over, because you assume Oklahoma State's going to, you know, great, that it's going to be 48, you know, 45. No, nothing. That's look, that was just a weird anomaly game. Just watch this week. Watch Oklahoma State come back, but that certainly killed them.
All right, let's go to this week. Maction tonight and tomorrow. Ball State, Kent State, Buffalo, Ohio tonight. Central Michigan, Northern Illinois, and Western Michigan, Bowling Green tomorrow. Anything on any of those?
At the moment, I kind of like Buffalo. I mean, their defense, only because they're going to have the ball for about an hour and a half. Ohio does not do time of possession, nation's worst defense. Buffalo has got a nice balance to its offense. They're number one in the MAC in time of possession. Their defense has been playing well. I think both these games, I kind of like the unders a little bit on that, which is no fun. But I like Buffalo in this, even though they're on the road. And Kent State at home, the problem with this game is Kent State scores a lot. Ball State doesn't score at all. So where do you find the happy medium in between? Because Ball State slows everything down just enough in this game against the flash fast offense. So I'm kind of like the unders in both. I like Buffalo and I like Ball State to cover in this just because they tend to keep games sort of low.
All right, let's go to Saturday. Can I call it the game of the year in college football? With apologies to Ohio State and Alabama. Tennessee and Georgia, Bulldogs favored by 8.5. What do you got here?
I hate to try to, because how do you not jump on Tennessee getting that many points? I mean, they're not. I thought that Kentucky would have a shot. I thought that with Will Levis, you have the possible number one overall pick in the draft going against the second worst pass defense in the country. Nope. You know, all this stuff about, well, Kentucky could slow things down. They got a curveball, you know, style of play where that should work. And Tennessee just sort of ripped through it. So let's see. Now this is when it really matters, because as we'll see is during this college football playoff ranking thing as we go, we're probably headed towards four, maybe five Power Five conference champions that are either undefeated or one loss. So as much as the idea of, well, the loser of this game is probably going to be 11-1 and be right there. Maybe not, you know, because
maybe you're still,
you're still going to have probably an 11-1 Ohio State Michigan loser. We're probably going to have a 12-1 Pac-12 champion. We might have a undefeated, even 12-1 TCU. Clemson's going to be undefeated, one loss. They're going to go with Power Five conference champions first, and they're definitely going to go with anybody who's undefeated. So this might be an elimination game in a lot of ways. I'm like in Tennessee. I'm on board with this, that defense schmefense. They're just going to rip it up. Hendon Hooker's playing too well, and this passing game is just too sharp.
I'm glad you made that point, Pete, because I do think a lot of people are like, well, yeah, I mean, but what a season. They have one loss, SEC at the top. They're definitely in the, no, they're definitely not. I mean, they might not be at all. They could be, but might not be, because you're right. Teams like a TCU, which arguably, besides Tennessee, probably has the best resume in the country, right? TCU, if they just continue to win, you can't keep them out. So
no.
Four games left, obviously, for the Horned Frogs to decide all that, though. Let's do one more here, because you alluded to Clemson earlier when we were talking about rankings. They are taking on Notre Dame. Kelly Bidlin guessed it as a 10-point favorite earlier in guessing lines, but really, in reality, it's 4.5. You missed up on that one, Kelly. Sorry about that. 4.5 on
lay the points of Clemson.
what do you think of this with Clemson? Because they have been getting by, man. What do you think?
They've been getting by, but they win. I mean, they just sort of have one of those kind of wins. And as the Notre Dame guys I know have the same exact thought that I do, I have no freaking clue which Notre Dame team you're going to get.
None.
Like I thought, okay, Syracuse got hurt, and you can't really say much about last week's game because Garrett Schrader got hurt. But that performance after Stanford, you know, they beat North Carolina, but they struggled against Marshall. I mean, this is such a fluky, flaky team. I think the Clemson defense rises up. Again, when it comes to games like this, go with what you know. We know the Clemson defense is going to be great. They'll figure it out offensively. I'm just going to go with Clemson just because they're the better team.
All right, we got to run. Give me your favorite play of the week, though.
Oh, you got to go with history. Air Force, Army. It doesn't matter if the total's 1.5, you go under. This defies all logic and reason. Air Force, Army always goes under, and until it doesn't, you stick with it.
Pete doesn't even need to know a number on that. Doesn't even need to know. He's going under. Sight unseen. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
There you go.
Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K, on Twitter, for collegefootballnews.com. We'll come back. NBA with JVT on the other side. Early season thoughts. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. Never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We got lots of screens up on here at the South Point Studio, and one of them has a RG3 on, and I just want to say this. I feel compelled to. I'm so happy for him and doing well in his broadcasting career. And by the way, I think he's outstanding in everything he does now at ESPN. Might have been shaky at first. Great now. And I don't want this little piece of history to get lost. People crapped on him at the end of his NFL career. People loved criticizing RG3. His career was ruined by injury.
Yeah.
Why were people so mean to him? Made no sense to me.
We were just talking about this off air. I think people have gotten spoiled that we expect every NFL player to come back from like major injuries and be completely fine afterward. Man, he was one of the most fun players to watch in college. Like those Baylor days were incredible. College. I mean, then what? His rookie year in the NFL.
He was a meteor in the NFL. Rookie of the year, beating out Andrew Luck in 2012. Anyway, I could reminisce, but why bother? Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, JVT is here, our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, to talk some basketball with us. How you doing, JVT?
You know, let's not talk about Andrew Luck. Watching Sam Ehlinger play quarterback over the weekend, you know, lusting after better times as a Colts fan.
Rough transition.
JVT is one of these guys' random teams that he loves. The Angels, the Colts is his football team. By the way, is it true that the Colts did make a call to Andrew Luck during this whole episode where they're like, hey, just in case, are you available?
I think I read a report. Think it was actually over the summer. I mean, maybe they do it multiple times. Why not? Just to see if he's interested. But if you've seen pictures or just keep up with what he's been doing, he's not coming back. Right? Like he's lost a bunch of weight. He's hanging out at Stanford campus. He's taking classes. He's doing all sorts of stuff. The dude looks very good for him. Dude looks like he's enjoying football or a post-football career, which he very much deserves.
Yeah, good on him. All right. We were just talking, Kelly and I, about awards in the NFL. We're talking about comeback player. MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year also. What about the NBA Rookie of the Year? I know you and Kelly talked about this on Hardwood Handicappers some, your podcast. By the way, Hardwood Handicappers with Jonathan Von Tobel, available wherever podcasts are distributed, vsin.com/podcast for all of our podcasts. There's Hardwood Handicappers on the right there, the logo. What about this market where Paolo Banchero of the Magic is the prohibitive favorite this short into the NBA season? The only other person in single digits, John, is Benedict Mathurin of the Pacers. What do you make of this market right now?
So I'm fascinated because just this early in the season, it should not be the case where a guy is, you know, minus 140 to win any sort of award. And especially with, and you mentioned it, I mean, there is a very legitimate competitor in Benedict Mathurin who's done such a phenomenal job for the Indiana Pacers that any sort of, at least in my mind, slippage in Paolo Banchero's play that he's going to overtake him for a guy who's going to be able to win this award. And then you look around, Gil, too. I mean, the rookies come into the league now and they are ready to play much more often than not. And like even besides those two in the terms of the guys who are playing for Rookie of the Year, look at a couple of the Pistons players, right? I mean, Kelly and I talked about this. Jaden Ivey's done a phenomenal job. Jalen Duren, one of their bigs, has done a great job as well. I would say this, like if you're looking at this market, and by the way, minus 140 is now minus 300 for Paolo Banchero. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I haven't checked for a couple of days. For me, it's you're looking elsewhere. You're looking at guys like Jaden Ivey at 18-1 who have been part of the Detroit Pistons rotation, who has looked really comfortable in his role next to guys like Cade Cunningham and Sadiq Bey. I would even venture a look at Jabari Smith Jr., a kid who I've watched quite a bit over the last week, who I've been very impressed with. And the Rockets are giving him all sorts of assignments, whether it be defensively or bringing the ball up and executing on offense, giving him shot attempts. You're looking elsewhere because, yes, Paolo Banchero has been incredible, and he has been the efficient guy that we all expected. But we're talking about six games now for the Orlando Magic. To make him minus 300 is wild at this point.
Yeah, it is really ridiculous.
It's not even just that. It's minus 300 on him, but then just the market in general basically telling you right now that there's five guys that could win this award, and we're not even a month into the season. Like, I mean, it's Shaden Sharp is then 60-1. He's sixth on the board.
Just by comparison, remember how long it took for Shohei Ohtani the year he won MVP last year to get to -350? Like, it took all year for it to finally shift over to that. And there's Moncara right there for rookie of the year. All right, I'm going to ask you some form of this question, JBT, as long as it applies. But we look up at the standings. The Blazers are 5-1. The Jazz are 6-2. The Spurs are 5-2. Are 5-2. And on the other side, the Nets are 2-5. Let's throw in the Heat also, too. The Lakers, obviously, having only won once as well. Listen, this is completely flipped what our preseason expectations are. It is a nod to how small a sample size we are into the season. But yet, all of those teams are doing strange things. Which is the one that is sustainable?
I think not maybe to this degree, but I think if we're talking about one that's going to continue to be a lot better than we expected, I'd probably circle Portland, mainly because they have Damian Lillard right, and they have a lot of good individual talent that's super intriguing. I would say, Gil, that one of the things that bothers you about Portland is the fact that they have been very reliant on Damian Lillard. From an offensive efficiency standpoint, when he leaves the floor, their offensive efficiency really tanks to about a point per possession. And it's a super small sample size, so that could grow and get a little bit better. But that has been kind of the thing with Portland, is that when he leaves the floor, they are going to be a poor offensive team. And that, I think, kind of worries you as you move forward over a course of a large sample size. But at the end of the day, like, Portland's got a lot. They've got a lot to work with. They have some good, intriguing young talent, especially coming off of that bench. And overall, it's just a team that has one of the better players in the NBA that's always worth something. So are they going to be, top three seed in the Western Conference? No. But are they going to be a team that I think is going to be much more competitive and competing for one of those top play-in seeds, maybe as an outlier, a top six seed? I think that's a little much, but I think they definitely have a path to be a playoff team, and that's not something I really expected from them.
Cleveland Cavaliers are 5-1. We talked about the Nets being at the bottom of the close to the bottom of the Eastern Conference right now. Will the Cleveland Cavaliers end up having a better record than the Nets this year?
Oh, I think so. Look, with Brooklyn, it's not there. Screw data points of Brooklyn now at this point right now, right? It's the team seems to be a toxic mess. Kyrie Irving's fighting with reporters over legitimate questions being asked of him and then complaining that people aren't listening to his point of view.
It's amazing.
Despite the fact that he refuses to answer questions. And it just doesn't seem like a good position to be in. And Ben Simmons is now banged up. He's supposed to be one of the better on-ball defenders. He's gotten a little bit better, but it hasn't looked great. I just think that when you're talking about everything off the court, and this persisting now, because it's not going to go away with Kyrie Irving, and he's not going to stop either. That's the other thing. I just don't know why you would realistically look at that team, and especially when there's so many other franchises that are just so much more well put together, right? Like, you don't have owners taking shots at players on Twitter with all these other spots like you do with the Brooklyn Nets. I just think it's too much of a poor situation overall to expect anything positive over the course of an 82-game season from that team.
Ben Simmons, 26 personal fouls, 37 total points. Yep. Just want to point that out. By the way, this is before we get to your picks tonight, because there's only four games tonight. All that stuff going on with Kyrie, and it is really just horrifying to watch, quite frankly. I may use that word, and I mean that word. People are like, they should cut him. Is there any chance that that's going to happen?
Well, I think there's certainly a chance. Right? Like when you're talking about, outside of the viewpoints and whatnot that he is, espousing, even though he swears that he's not, like this is just becoming a distraction. And sure, you could talk about point production, whatever it is, but if he's going to be a distraction and they're going to be like 12 games under 500, and this is a team that like constantly is being asked about these sort of things in post-game press conferences, and all of a sudden maybe he starts to leave games, but isn't around the franchise that we've kind of seen him do before. Like, why wouldn't you just cut bait? What he is bringing to the franchise in terms of negativity is not outweighed by his positivity, especially if they're going to start losing games,
As fascinating as him being cut would be, what would be even more fascinating is who would then have the onions to pick him up at that point, right?
Tell you LeBron's super image conscious. Do you think that he really wants to dive into that pool right now as much as they would need a player like him? It's a fascinating dynamic, to be sure.
It is. The NBA just as interesting off the court as it is, for all the wrong reasons, by the way, as it is on. All right, four games tonight. What do you got?
So I went Warriors pick. I made the number Warriors -1.5. It's like one and like a pick pretty much everywhere. So we'll see where this ends up closing. If I take pick and it closes -1 in favor of Miami, it's not a big loss there. But I think just from a numbers play, I even put it into the write-up this morning. It was just a play on the number that I thought was going to close higher than it was. And then I have not made the play yet. I'm just sitting back and seeing what the market does. But I love this Thunder team. This is a team that now, going back to last year, guys, covering over 62% of their games. They're 5-1 against the spread this year yet again. They're extremely well coached. Their backcourt talent is so much better than what Orlando has. Orlando's got a massive size advantage, so I think I might wait in-game to see how that matchup plays out. But this Thunder team, if you guys missed it over the weekend, an 18-2 run to close out regulation against the Mavericks. They ended up winning that game in overtime. This is an impressive team, and they are very, very solid, and I think a lot better than the market's giving them credit for.
John, we appreciate it. As always, Hardwood Handicappers will wait for each and every episode. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Jonathan Ron Tobel at MeJVT is the Twitter. By the way, be careful with betting the vague awards markets in the NFL, like Offensive Player of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year, just so hard to truly handicap what the voters are thinking there. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only, though, at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. For Kelly Bidlin, Gil Alexander, thanks for listening. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.